Today on More to Life, attention please! Struggling to get someone to take your needs or concerns seriously? Let us help you be gracefully assertive. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, attention please. Are you struggling to get someone to take your needs or concerns seriously? We want to help you be gracefully assertive. And when you hear that word assertive, I know that some of you out there think, am I even allowed to do that?
Yeah, shrink into a little tiny ball. Yeah, just shrivel up. Because, you know, oh, I'm a Christian person. I'm supposed to be so nice. I'm supposed to do so much for everybody else. I'm supposed to be extra kind and extra generous. What do you mean assertive? And if that's kind of what comes at you because of your faith, well, then if you couple that with the fact that maybe you were taught that being assertive can be a little risky in your childhood years and you're carrying that burden around, well, then it gets really complicated.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And tell us, do you have a hard time expressing your needs or even knowing what your needs are because you're afraid of being seen as selfish or demanding? Maybe you have a hard time telling the difference between a legitimate need and a personal preference you might need to let go of. Or are you in a relationship where you feel like you're giving generously, but the other person, whether that's your spouse or younger or adult child, parents, family member, or friend, isn't being considerate of your needs? Do you feel stuck between feeling resentful for not being heard, but afraid to speak up again for fear of being selfish or pushy? Maybe you're struggling to know what it would take to make your relationships reflect the kind of mutual self-giving that St. John Paul talked about, and we'll discuss that in a minute. Let us help. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. We're talking about identifying your needs, how to be gracefully assertive in your relationships, and how to know the difference between that and being selfish. 877-573-7825. And I gotta say, I think it's hard for all of us to tell other people what we need, and especially if they're not super receptive to it. I mean, some people can be absolutely hostile and antagonistic when you try to tell them what you need. But I think a lot of people, you know, they mean well. They don't necessarily react badly. Maybe they even say, yeah, I'll do that. And then they just kind of forget, because maybe it's not their need or it's not their preference. And then, you know, then you're kind of stuck because you're feeling like, well, I told them what I need, but they're not doing it. And so now if I say it again, now I'm being obnoxious. I'm being a nag. I don't want to be any of those things. So now what do I do? Well, the good news is there are ways to respond to that that are charitable, that are graceful, but still allow you to get your needs met.
Amazing. I can't wait to unpack that for everyone, especially for our listeners in particular who are saying, well, this matches up with my experience. Well, if that's the case, let us tailor these things that you can do to your situation. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to wonder, well, how could some theology help me be more assertive? Well, but the fact is, St. John Paul, when he was pope, basically asked a huge question. He said, you know, if we take a look at everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and creating healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that while we're called to be generous to others, we're not meant to disappear in the whole process of it. Because our needs matter too.
Well, that's right. So St. John Paul taught that the foundation of a healthy, holy Christian relationship, whether that's a marriage or a parenting relationship or friendship, is mutual self-giving. That's the phrase he used. Now, love works when everyone involved is committed to giving everything they can to work for the good of each other, not when one person is giving and giving and giving and all the other people just receive.
And it's important to remember that a need doesn't just refer to what we need to survive. A need is anything that allows us to flourish. God is the author of our needs. So pursuing our needs in ways that are respectful of others isn't selfish. It's how we discover God's plan for our flourishing.
Well, that's right, you know, because God speaks to us through our needs, in a sense. And when our legitimate needs are met, we thrive. And when we thrive, God is glorified through our flourishing. Remember that St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is man fully alive. And that's why it's appropriate to expect the people who say they love us to be responsive to our needs, just as we're called to be responsive to others' needs as well.
People sometimes confuse assertiveness with selfishness, but there's a big difference. A selfish person isn't interested in anyone else's needs. They want what they want, and how and when they want it.
But someone who's responsibly assertive is able to clearly communicate what they need while remaining flexible about how and when that need is met. So that way, you can make a plan where everyone's needs are respected.
And that flexibility is key. It keeps relationships collaborative instead of competitive.
So the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for intimate communion with God and with one another. And intimacy grows when we're willing to name our needs honestly and respond to each other generously. Now, that all sounds great on paper, but when it comes to actually naming your needs, speaking your needs, or making sure that those needs are responded to gracefully, especially when people are pushing back, not hearing what you're saying, or even telling you that you're selfish for wanting what you want, let's talk about how to get those needs met in ways that are healthy, that ways that respect our call to discipleship, in ways that really help our relationships thrive. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. If you're struggling to get someone to take your needs or concerns seriously, let us help. Now let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all of our needs, and we ask you to help us to know what those needs are and to be assertive in ways that respect the needs of others, but don't allow ourselves to be ignored. Help us to know how to participate fully in the mutually self-giving relationships that your servant St. John Paul said was the hallmark of a healthy, holy Christian relationship. Help us to know how to be generous to others while not disappearing in the process. Help us to cultivate the intimacy that we're called to live in with others by being honest about what our needs are while still responding generously to the needs of others, so that by participating in these mutually self-giving relationships, we can serve each other and bear each other's burdens and fulfill your law in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Attention, Please, as we talk about the struggle to get people to take our needs or concerns seriously. Do you have a hard time expressing your needs because you're afraid of being seen as selfish or demanding? Maybe you have a hard time telling the difference between a legitimate need and maybe something you need to let go of. Are you in a relationship where you feel like you're giving generously, but the other person, whether that's your spouse, a younger or adult child, parents, family member or friend, just isn't being considerate of your needs? Do you feel stuck between feeling resentful for not being heard and being afraid to speak up again for fear of being seen as selfish or pushy? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jessica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was just overhearing your podcast, and it felt very relative to a situation that I'm going through.
Okay. Well, what's going on?
Well, I work for a company, and I've continuously expressed my needs and my concerns for a hostile work environment. I've continuously been gaslit. You know, things have been swept under the rug, not only by the manager, but by HR. So I try to be assertive in the environment so that I can help others. I do it for the fact to advocate so that, you know, no one in the future footsteps have to go through what I've been through.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about the specific situation, though? Because, I mean, I appreciate you kind of describing it in general, but what's the particular situation you're trying to be assertive about, and what's the response been?
So I am part of a team. This team is called Central Registration, and this team is the first of its kind. It was built by a 10-year military veteran.
You know what? I don't have time for the whole history here. What's the specific situation you were trying to be assertive about, and how can we help?
So I'm trying to be assertive about giving the help that I give throughout the day, mm-hmm. and not receiving it back, being neglected,
How are you being neglected specifically?
I am being... I'm being aggressively harassed. I don't know if that makes sense.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I still don't know what the specifics are, but go ahead.
So I've basically been as kind as I can to everyone, as helpful as I can, mm-hmm. towards everyone, and I have not received the same treatment back.
Okay. So how can we help you today? What's your question for us then?
So how do I just allow it to keep happening, or do I stop being, you know, that way generous and kind towards the staff and everyone, you know, other than the patients, obviously, but do I just stop and just ignore them the way they ignore me? And
no.
Accept them?
I appreciate the question. So look, you, as Christian, we can't stop being kind and generous to others, right? That's part of what distinguishes assertiveness from selfishness. You know, even while we're being assertive and stating what our needs are, we're continuing to be kind and to serve others and be generous as we can. What you're describing, though, okay, so when we talk about relationships needing to be mutually self-giving, we're talking about Christian relationships. And you're not presumably working in a Christian environment per se. Right. So very often when we participate in other kinds of relationships, they don't have the same standards that we would have as Christians. That's one of the reasons it's so important for Christians to be careful about our friendships and people that we marry and how we lead our family life, because we want to bear witness to that mutually self-giving love that can show the world how Christians are meant to live differently and love differently. But we do work in the world. We work in a secular environment. And often what we find is that people don't follow those same principles in secular relationships and in the secular workplace. And so in those situations, we make sure that we are doing our best to continue to be kind, to continue to bear those wrongs patiently, because we understand that they don't have the same standards that we do. And so we uphold those standards as a way of witnessing to the way things ought to be. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that you are condemned to stay in that position forever. You know, if you find it's a toxic work environment, as you said, then you have every right to start looking for another job that would work better for you. Now, I realize that's easier said than done, but I want to just be clear that there's no obligation as a Christian to stay in a situation where you're being treated poorly. But you have to make sure that regardless of how you're being treated in that environment, you continue to be a Christian person, which means continuing to be kind, to continue to be generous, to continue to model the kind of giving and sacrificial love that you're hoping to get from others. And when you don't get it, recognizing that these people, you know, they're not Christians, they're not living as Christians. And so your job in that situation is to be that witness, right? To be that sign of God's love in the world while you look for a healthier, different position to be in. So, Jessica, I wish I had a better answer for you. I realize that you're kind of hoping that I could just say, well, no, you just treat them the way they treat you. But that's really not what we're called to. That said, again, you don't have to be trapped in the situation. And, you know, there's something called... oh, heck, I'm sorry. I blacked on the term.
You just lost your word.
Yeah, but it's basically that we can fall into the trap of thinking that because I've given so much to this job, I have to keep doing it, right?
Mm, but it's still a job.
But the reality is you don't, right? So I would suggest to you, yes, continue to be kind, continue to be generous, continue to be assertive while you do that. But if you find that the position continues to be toxic, begin looking for someplace else to be. Thank you so much for the call, Jessica. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Attention, Please, as we talk about the struggle to get people to take our needs or concerns seriously. We want to help you be gracefully assertive and understand the difference between assertiveness and selfishness. 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights on how we can be more assertive, even when we're a little afraid to do that. Stick around for that and a whole lot more with your calls coming up on More to Life after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Looking for practical, faith-filled help to build the marriage you're longing for or become a more confident Catholic parent? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M for Catholic Households on Mission. The Catholic H-O-M app gives you daily coaching, creative tools, and real-life support to help your family thrive. Subscribe to the Catholic H-O-M app today and discover the path to a more rewarding, faith-filled family life.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, attention please, as we talk about how to be gracefully assertive 877-573-7825. Of course, the first step in being assertive is being able to articulate our needs, which means that we need to know what our needs are. Jacob Florence Popchak, welcome to More to Life. You wanted to talk a little bit about that question. What do we do when we don't know what our needs are?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's a really difficult challenge because, you know, I will often speak to people who will even already kind of coming into therapy know that they want to get better at meeting their at kind of meeting their needs or being assertive to other people and demanding their needs get met. Maybe they have a spouse who is particularly neglectful, or, you know, kids who don't seem to really care about them, or a friend who doesn't really ever take their feelings into consideration. And these people will already have a sense, hey, I need to, you know, start standing up for my needs more often. But when I actually ask them to identify what some of their needs are, they hit this wall. There's just this big, you know, fog in their brains when it comes to that kind of a thing. And, you know, I end up having to kind of work them through what is inevitably a major fear that is unconsciously at work in their hearts. And that is the fear that identifying my needs is the same thing as taking care of myself. Right? A lot of these people, because they don't feel particularly cared for by other people, they don't feel particularly prioritized by those around them, which is, by the way, exactly why they need to become more assertive, they feel like they've had to become very, very self-sufficient over time. They feel like everything they do to, you know, is something they have to do to take care of themselves or take care of other people, and they're always the ones kind of manning the ship. You know, they're the ones at the steering wheel. And that has become very lonely, that has become very frightening. And the prospect, therefore, of identifying my own need, stopping and pausing and figuring out what is it I even need, ends up actually feeling really, really scary and off limits to them emotionally, because it feels counterintuitive to what they ultimately want, which is to be taken care of. What I often help these people through, therefore, as a sort of initial thought exercise, is just kind of prayerfully reminding myself that knowing what I need is not the same thing as meeting my own needs, right? After all, right, Christ gave us our needs. I believe it's Teresa of Avila who says so. Christ gives us our needs because he plans to meet our needs. And, you know, Jesus himself, you know, asked for rest, for companionship, you know, for, you know, even for comfort in the garden, right, when he's grieving. Knowing our needs is an important way to understand what God is saying to our hearts, but it's not the same thing as taking care of ourselves. It's just the first step to showing other people how they can care for me. Think about it this way. Imagine going to a doctor and saying, I don't want to describe my symptoms to you, because if I do, that would mean I'm treating myself. Right? We all know that doesn't make any sense. Describing your symptoms isn't self-doctoring, right? It's just letting the doctor know what he needs to do to kind of take that baton and start caring for you. And identifying
that's a magnificent metaphor, actually, because there are so many of us who fall into what you're saying for a ton of different reasons, all going back to what you're saying. We're afraid that nobody will ever get on the bandwagon of taking care of us or meeting our needs. But to really think of it that way, if we went into a doctor's office and just said, if you were a really good doctor, you'd just figure it out and know what I need, would be insane. So we really do have to treat God and others the same way, by identifying our needs and explaining what they are and asking for what we need from others, don't we? That's amazing. That metaphor.
Well, and at the same time, the flip side is also true. You know, it wouldn't really make sense either to go into a doctor and say, hey, I know exactly what I have. I know I have this rare disease because I found out on Google, and I know I need you to prescribe me exactly this amount of medication, right? That would be sort of self-doctoring, and that wouldn't make sense either. But a lot of people think that by identifying their needs at first, they automatically have to commit basically to the emotional equivalent of that, of not only telling someone what their need is, but making, like, sort of walking that person through every single thing they need for them to do from there on out. And that's not a necessary part of this.
There's another piece that I want to talk to you about, though, at the time that we've got, and that's specifically, a lot of times we get in our own way because we feel like needs are only basic needs, you know, for shelter, for water, for food, and anything beyond that is just gravy. And one of the things we were talking about earlier is the idea that a need, biologists tell us, is anything that an organism needs to thrive. What do you think about that idea, that needs are anything that allow us to thrive?
Yeah, I think, you know, some people can get a little too hung up on what they think their specific need is. Like, I need to be able to, you know, go to this specific restaurant tonight. But, you know, and that would be more of like a want, for instance, right? But that doesn't mean that the core need behind that, maybe that's the need to be able to break up your rhythm and get out for a while. You know, the core need that motivates you to want to go to that restaurant, that need is still a legitimate thing. And
well, and we talked about earlier, too, that a need is, you know, the what we want, whereas the want is the how or the when we pursue that what by. And so, you know, we can be flexible about the want. Right. Yeah, we can be flexible about, the, you know, the how and when we want the thing, but we still are assertive about the what. And that's really what distinguishes, you know, a need from a want. Jacob, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about his good work, you can check out his pastoral counseling work at CatholicCounselors.com. We appreciate you being with us today. And we are taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about assertiveness on our show titled Attention, Please. Do you have a hard time expressing your needs because you're afraid of being selfish or demanding? Is there somebody that you're in a relationship with that you're generous to, but you're just not getting anything back, and you're not sure what to do about that? Do you feel stuck between feeling resentful for not being heard and afraid to speak up for fear of being selfish or pushy? 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Can a priest ever reveal what he has heard in confession? No, he cannot, the Catechism firmly states. Due to the delicacy and greatness of this ministry and the respect due to persons, the Church declares that the priest must keep all he hears under the seal of the sacrament. Under no circumstances may he disclose what he has heard in confession. Were he to do so, he would face severe Church penalties. When he is celebrating the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the Good Shepherd seeking the lost sheep, the Good Samaritan who binds up the wounds, the merciful Father who welcomes home the prodigal son, and the impartial judge whose judgment is just and merciful. The confessor is the servant, not the master of God's forgiveness, leading the penitent to maturity and healing. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them, and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point. and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about assertiveness on our show titled Attention, Please. We're talking about those times when we're struggling to get someone to take our needs or concerns seriously, or even know what our needs are so we can share them. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do you have a hard time expressing your needs because maybe you're afraid of being seen as selfish or demanding? Do you have a hard time telling the difference between a legitimate need or something that you maybe just need to let go of? Are you in a relationship with someone where you feel like you're giving generously, but they're just not giving back? Or perhaps you feel stuck between feeling resentful for not being heard and afraid to speak up again for fear of being seen as selfish or pushy? 877-573-7825. Again, the number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a call from Javier, who was Javier, please.
Excuse me. Javier.
I know. I've got a frog in my throat today. I'm tripping over my tongue. He's listening in Dallas, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network, and he couldn't stay on the air, but we really want to be able to answer this for you. He says he had a dilemma with his daughter and her mortgage on her house. He's been paying her mortgage for 2 years now, and he needs her to pick it up like she promised, and he does not know how to handle this.
All right, Javier, thank you so much for the question. So, you know, obviously this is a situation where we want to be generous to our adult kids, but we also need to make sure that our adult kids know how to stand on their own 2 feet. And so this is something that I think you need to kind of be clear that, okay, she promised to start paying her mortgage, and if she's not willing to kind of just do that, if there's a handle, you need to say to her, okay, I can keep paying at this level for, you know, X number of months. After that, I can contribute this much. It's going to go down to this much for X number of months. After that, it's going to go down to this much by X number of, you know, so you're and that amount has to be based on what you can actually afford to do, right?
Yeah. But I mean, if suddenly your whole life has changed and you can no longer pay this mortgage, you know, that's a totally different situation. But if this is something you can do stepwise, like Greg is saying, that's your first best step because it allows her to acclimate to this.
You mentioned as well that her mother, I don't know if that's your wife, or I'm sorry, I'm not clear on that relationship, is making it sound like it's your obligation to continue to pay her mortgage. It's her mortgage. She's a grown-up.
Yeah, hopefully it is. Hopefully the bank is holding this in her name, and it is legitimately her mortgage. You know, then she is a grown-up, she got into this, and she needs to start to begin to be able to take care of this or to make real provision for selling the house and being somewhere with a less expensive mortgage or rent.
And so while it's generous and good for us as parents of adult children to help in whatever ways we reasonably can, we have to make sure that the help we're giving is not crippling our adult children, even if that means sometimes they have to learn a hard lesson about taking responsibility for themselves. And so I would suggest to you talking to her about what this plan is and not expecting her to agree with it. And for that matter, you know, when you say her mother, not expecting her mother to agree with it. This is what you can afford to do. She needs to start learning how to be responsible. And so you're going to continue at this level for X number of months. Then you're going to take it down to this other level for X number of months until she owns the responsibility for her own mortgage. And that is a completely appropriate and responsible thing to do. It allows you to be generous, but allows her to take the responsibility she needs for the choices that she's making in her own life. So, Javier, thank you so much for the question. If there's more that we can do to support you, or if you have other clarifying information that would impact our decision, our advice, don't hesitate to call back in. We're sorry you weren't able to stay on the line, but I hope that these suggestions will give you a way forward.
And indeed, if your daughter's mother is your wife and part of your daily life and your financial situation, it is really time to sit down and have a real conversation with her about look, you know, A, our daughter needs to start growing up. B, this money that's going to her mortgage needs to be going to our needs, our responsibilities, including our eventual retirement. And so we need to start balancing this for our own financial health.
But, you know, the fact is, even if somebody is so financially blessed that they were able to pay for everything for all of their children forever, it's not healthy to do that.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, in fact, there's a lot of research that shows that when we're too generous to adult children, that really cripples them. And so it's important to, yes, be generous, but be generous in ways that are responsible. In fact, St. John Paul wrote a book before he developed this theology of the body that we talk a lot about on the show. And the title of the book is Love and Responsibility. And he talks about, you know, how often Christians think that we are just to love indiscriminately. And that's a misunderstanding, that we are called to love responsibly. In other words, everything that we do really should be ordered to the ultimate good of another person. And part of the ultimate good of another person, especially adult children, is helping them take responsibility for their own lives. Because there's going to be some time where we're not there anymore to take responsibility for their lives for them, right? And so at some point, they have to be able to stand on their own two feet. And we as parents want to help them get there in as gentle a way as possible. But it's not loving to our adult children to just say, you know, do what you want and I'll cover it. That doesn't help them in any way, right? So you, when you say, Javier, that you know, her mother is saying it's your responsibility, that's the idea of loving indiscriminately, not loving responsibly. And so, yes, by all means, you've been generous for the last 2 years. You can continue to be generous in some way, but let your daughter know, whether she agrees with it or not, that this is what you're going to do, and this is the step-down process that you're going to put her through, and that she needs to be able to make up the difference every month until she's owning that mortgage herself. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about assertiveness on our show titled Attention, Please, as we talk about the struggle to get someone to take our needs or concerns seriously. Do you have a hard time expressing your needs? Maybe because you're afraid of being seen as selfish or demanding. Do you have a hard time telling the difference between a legitimate need and maybe something you need to just get over? Are you in a relationship with somebody where you feel like you're giving generously, but the other person, whether that's your spouse, a younger or adult child, a parent, a family member or a friend, just isn't being considerate of your needs? Do you feel stuck between being resentful for not being heard, but afraid to speak up again for fear of being selfish and pushy? We want to help you build the kinds of relationships that St. John Paul talks about, those mutually self-giving relationships that reflect the love that flows from God's own heart and enables us to really bear witness to that love in the world. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ.
And this is St. Paul, again, reminding us of this idea of mutual self-giving. That, yes, we are called to be generous to others, but we are also called to expect others to give back what they are capable of. Now, going back to our first caller, this applies primarily to Christian relationships, right? And if we're in a relationship with somebody who is not Christian, then that can change to some degree. You know, so we might, in those cases, bear those wrongs patiently and continue to be generous as a way of modeling Christian love in that environment. Unless it's so unhealthy that we need to get out of that situation, like we were talking about with our first caller.
We have to remember that Christ even left the midst of people who were treating him badly when those situations did not have to do with his mission to suffer and die for us on the cross. He knew which situations that were devastatingly awful were for him and which ones weren't. And so often in scripture we hear he just disappeared from them, or he just went off and spent time alone.
Well, because subjecting himself to those humiliations would have been a distraction from his primary mission.
Exactly,
right?
And we are called to follow him in that way by discerning that for
ourselves.
That's
right, and so by knowing what God is really calling us to, we can say, well, is this a relationship I need to be in, or a job I need to stay in? But again, you know, in healthy Christian relationships, which is what we're presuming to build with our spouse, with our children, with the people in our families, St. Paul says, bear one another's burdens so that we can fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 2. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on being assertive and how to get your needs met in relationships. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's the new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Lisa Popcheck with CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Attention, Please, as we talk about the struggle to get other people to take our needs or concerns seriously. How can we be gracefully assertive, and how is that different from being selfish? Because we often get hung up in that. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Sarah, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, I have a 27-year-old daughter that has been with me for a little over 3 years, living at home with me. She lost her driver's license, you know, so that kind of puts a big damper.
How did she lose her driver's license?
Well, she had, I think, 3 tickets within a certain time frame, so they suspended her license.
For how long?
She had a baby to the end of this year.
Okay, go on.
So she had a baby. My grandson is about 2.5. I told her, you know, I wanted her to go to school. While you're living at home with me and I'm taking care of you, get an education. She's not made any advancement towards that. You know, I've constantly told her, try to get a hold of a lawyer, see if there's something that we can do to help you get your license back so that you can get a job and, you know, starting getting things together for yourself.
Yeah.
My big concern is that, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. And if I die tomorrow, where is that going to leave her and my grandson?
Sure.
So what is she doing? Like what instead of doing anything to take care of herself, what does she do all day?
She's with my grandson all day. You know, she takes very good care of him. She's an amazing mother. But that's pretty much it.
So I want to be very clear on this, Sarah, just so we get a good picture of it. So she's getting up in the morning. She's getting herself clean and dressed. She's getting the child clean and dressed. She's playing with him and feeding him and taking care of him all day. So it's not like she's laying around watching TV, showing signs of depression that would be something we would need to really be looking at in this scenario, right?
Correct. Correct. Yes.
And when you say to her, hey, sweetheart, you know, you need to be doing these things. Let's put this on the calendar. Tomorrow you're calling a lawyer. The next day you're doing... Will she listen to that at all? What is her response when you give her any kind of prompting like this?
She'll tell me that, yeah, she'll take care of it. And then when I ask, maybe a few days later, I got distracted with the baby. Or, you know, there's always an excuse.
All right. So in order to make this happen, you're going to have to be a lot more assertive about this. And it's because she's both afraid to do it, and also there are some disincentives because, you know, she recognizes that she's going to have to leave her daughter in order to do some of these things. And that's, you know, not what she wants to do. But it's what she needs to do to take care of herself. Like you said, you can't guarantee that we're going to be here forever, right? So she needs to learn how to stand on her own two feet. So,
and she also needs to stand on her own two feet, because if this continues, she's going to feel more and more and more incompetent, and eventually she is going to start sliding into a depression. Because competency is what makes us be able to do the next steps and to walk our way out of a situation that can lead us into depression. So she needs to be accomplishing tasks that aren't just in your house, aren't just with her child, so that she can go, oh, I did make that phone call. Oh, I did find out this next thing, and have more of that sense of competency to build on.
So, and building on what Lisa was just saying, you know, the term is self-efficacy, right? So the more self-efficacious I am, the less likely it is that I'll be depressed, because I know that I can set a goal and I can meet it consistently, and your daughter is really struggling with that. So we want to give the level of support that the other person has identified that they need from us, right? So, for instance, if you want her to call a lawyer to find out about getting her license back, you're going to have to sit down with her and say, all right, we're calling the lawyer now. Here. And you give her the phone.
And then you take the baby. So that's the way you can help in that situation. Yes, she's saying, I can't call because I got distracted with the baby, or the baby could make too much noise in the middle of a conversation. Okay, at such and such a time tomorrow, I will be there. You can call the lawyer. I will take care of the baby till that conversation is over. That way she's doing the work.
You might even have to find the lawyer, right? And again, you're going to say, well, she's 27 years old. She should be able to do this for herself. Yeah, she should, but she's not. So if in order for you to make it happen, you let her do what she's capable of doing to show her that she can step into that responsibility.
Right. So you're being supportive enough to, yes, maybe find the lawyer. Definitely enough to take care of the baby for that maybe 15, 20 minutes she'd be on the phone, if that. And then she has to do the actual calling, the actual explaining, all of that to handle that situation.
If you want her to find a job, you're going to have to sit down for 15 minutes a day, for example, and say, okay, let's figure out what jobs you can apply for. And she, you know, you look online, you take her around to different places, and you send her into the store to go ask. You know, go in, I will watch the baby, you go in and ask if there's a position.
You know, if you want her to get an education so that she's not in a, you know, beginner job and she doesn't want to leave her child, well, then you look at online degrees and you start figuring out what does she want to get an education in. How can you be supportive of her for that amount of time? But you're making sure that she's taking the steps of applying, of figuring it out. But you're setting sort of the date, the time, and some bare minimum, bare minimum support, so that she has accountability and she can begin to develop that self-efficacy that Greg is talking about.
But the pattern you guys have fallen into is something that a lot of people fall into. They feel like saying things is the same thing as setting a boundary, or that saying things is the same thing as being assertive. And saying things isn't really, it's the first step, but it doesn't really qualify for actually being assertive. So what is assertiveness is being able to follow through on making the thing happen one way or the other, right? So, you know, it's fine to say, okay, I need you to do this. If she didn't do that, the next step is, okay, we're going to sit down and I'm going to watch you do it, or we're going to sit down and I'm going to make it happen. And again, the temptation here is to say, well, she's 27. She should be able to do it herself. She should, But she's not. And so we need to kind of deal with the reality for what it is. And if you want her to achieve this, you need to let her know that this isn't a choice. It's either going to happen because you made it happen or I made you make it happen. But one way or the other, this is happening because I love you. And I don't want you to be in a position where you can't feel like you can accomplish things and you can't stand on your own 2 feet. So let's go. I mean, and, you know, at the very least, that may drive her crazy enough that she wants to move out herself. but either way, it win-win, right?
Because yeah, and it probably won't. She probably really does need to be retaught skills after the very chaotic few years she's had.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for the call. I hope that this will give you some clarity about the way to move forward from here. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out through us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com.
Greg, we have a question here from Jenna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. She said, I've been part of a women's group at church for many years, 5 years when I was single and 4 years while I've been married. I've served a lot at vacation Bible schools, donut Sundays, made food for funerals, helped clean up whenever we needed something done in the church. But 8 months ago, I had twins, and I'm barely keeping my head above water. I don't get a lot of sleep because when one wakes up, they both wake up. It's hard to get housework done because my hands are always full. My husband is wonderful and supportive, but this is just hard. I've tried talking to this about the ladies that I know best, hoping for good advice or even some help for them, since they're mostly moms of older children or empty nesters. I get nothing. In fact, some of them have complained that, and she has this in quotes, moms like me don't do enough and leave all the work to the older ladies and take them for granted. I don't necessarily want to leave this group because it gives me something to do, and I've always thought decent relationships, but I am overwhelmed and don't know what to do with this kind of feedback. And that is Jenna, who's listening in PA.
Jenna, thank you so much for the question. You know, I want to thank you for having such a beautiful heart for service and for really wanting to be there for your parish. I think that's awesome. But one thing that we have a tendency to forget is that our service to our spouse and children and our domestic church is actual ministry. And the church teaches us that. The most important ministry we as Catholic spouses and parents can do is build strong domestic churches, strong marriages, strong family lives, being there for the people that God has given us a covenantal relationship with through the sacrament of marriage.
And I think that knowing that and on that platform, you need to be more assertive and direct with these people that you have known for many, many years here and say to them, hey, myself and other women who are raising young children are doing a specific ministry in the church. Our work is important, and we need support from all of you. And I especially know that because I'm trying to take care of twins. And then maybe quote some Titus 2 at them and let them know that this is what older women are called to do, to support younger women and help them to be godly women by helping them with their marriages, helping them with their children.
But I don't want to give you the impression that being able to step back from this ministry requires you to get their permission, because it really doesn't. This is a call that you and your husband together need to prayerfully make. And if you decide that you don't have the time or the energy to do this particular ministry in the parish, then that's your decision, because you have an obligation to God to take primary care of the people that you have that covenantal relationship through the sacrament of marriage, your spouse and your children. And whatever else you have left after, if you know, however you want to spend that in service to the church, that's wonderful. But if you don't have that energy, that doesn't mean that you're not serving the church or that you're taking advantage of them or any of that other nonsense. It's you are ministering in your domestic church, which is the primary call to people who are married and parents. And by all means, you can share all the things that Lisa said to these women in the group, but I don't think that'll change their minds. And it's not your job to change their minds. And you don't have to change their minds to have the right to make this decision that I just need to step back for a time. You know, as the kids get older, you can certainly be more involved in those kinds of ministries in your parish. But I don't want anybody who's listening to feel like they're somehow second-class Christians because they only have time to take care of their domestic church.
Absolutely right. And as I was saying, we need to, as women who are empty nesters, really look at what our role is, and it is to step into that supportive role. So ask directly can anybody help? But if not, take those steps back. Do what you need to do to take care of your domestic church.
And we talk about this a lot on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM. If you'd like more support in making these decisions and understanding the ministry that you have as a spouse and parent, you can download the Catholic HOM app and we can continue the conversation there. Of course, if you are struggling with assertiveness and, you know, in a relationship that's kind of one-sided and you're not quite sure what to do about it, you'd like some personalized attention to find faithful ways to respond, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because there is so much more to life with His grace.
This is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.